Paul's on retreat this week, so I just want to say a few words. And I'm trying to, I like sort of the unprepared nature of just speaking. Right? Like, if things come into my head and I'm start thinking about it, like, I want to throw it out, you know, and just, all right, whatever comes up at that moment. So my wife really likes American Idol, right? And she's come and watch American Idol. Do I have to? You know, I don't want to watch it. But so I sat down at the beginning of the program, you know, and so, you know, Ryan Seacrest comes out and, you know, has all the three contestants there. The judges are sitting there with their big bottles of Coke, you know, things sitting in front of them, you know. And so he says, well, America has voted. 90 million votes have come in. 90 million people would vote. 90 million votes. I'm thinking to myself, how many people vote like in a presidential election? And so then, you know, they read the announcement and all the, you know, the high drama. But it just shocked me, you know, that so many people would be involved in this thing that doesn't really have any connection with their lives in any direct way, really. I don't think it makes their lives any better or worse, so to speak, whoever wins American Idol. And, you know, I'm always kind of, you know, it's not that I'm any better, because, like, I'm going to go watch basketball or something, you know, and it's all, you know, but it's all corporate stuff. So, you know, and then you think about how, like, the, you know, and then you say, well, really, like, don't we elect our presidents and our people in the same way that we choose American Idols now, right? You know, they should all wear, like, you know how, like, the athletes wear, like, the logos, you know? So, you know, we should all have those logos on. That was my digression. What I really wanted to say was that the question, you know, that I had was really, like, who wouldn't benefit from meditation? Right? You know, who wouldn't really benefit from the practice of meditation? So it's somewhat more paradox, or, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh sort of likens the practice of meditation to growing roots, like, so, you know, as you practice your meditation, it's like growing stronger roots. Like, if you imagine that you're a tree, you know, and your roots are descending into the earth, and, you know, getting in touch with that, so that when big storms come, he says, you know, in our lives, and we get blown around, that, you know, you're more deeply rooted, because a lot of people will come to a meditation practice when things are disruptive in their life, and so they're looking for, you know, something to hold on to, some kind of salvage, but their roots aren't that deep, you know, because they're not really practicing. And so they may or may not, you know, they may or may not get uprooted by that particular event. And that may or may not be a good thing in the overall, but the practice of meditation is really sort of like, you know, I was going to say, you know, it's like being a, you know, horticulturist, being a farmer, you know, but you're farming yourself, you know, and you're digging here, you're sort of tilling the soil and sending your roots deeper, so that when things go a little crazy, you know, there's something you can enter into, the energy, there's that way of moving that energy around so that it's there, and when, you know, when the storms come, I think it braces better. My example of that is, you know, my storm is, like this past week, my son came back from the Peace Corps after 2 years, and so he was coming, you know, back to live with us now, or while he gets himself sort of situated and so forth. That brought up a lot of turmoil for me, because now not only is, you know, the room that he uses is the room that I sort of is my sanctuary room, you know, and so he's come back and now I've been thrown out of my sanctuary room. But just the adjustment, you know, just the feel, just like the adjustments of him coming in, when he first came back, I felt like in a lot more turmoil. And for me, you know, this particular practice helps you know, I felt helped me deal with that. The only other thing I wanted to say is that I think, you know, the practice helps us to abide. And I think the practice helps us to abide in not knowing, you know, which is really where we're at most of the time. You know, that we really don't know what, you know, what's going to be next. And the beauty of the practice is that it helps us to become comfortable, in a sense, with that not knowing experience. So the other thought that popped into my head in my prearranged remarks was that we hear the phrase "knowledge is power." You know, I mean, that's something that we've heard ever since about, you know, for a very long time. But in this practice, something one could say that not knowing is power. You know, that not knowing and being able to be comfortable with our not knowingness is power.